You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Thank you, Nathaniel, for leading us in our communion thoughts. Super appreciate Nathaniel Wakefield. I know the Wakefields are heading out. He'll be around a little longer, so it's great to hear him preaching the word and just an awesome young man of God. Today has been exciting. I don't know how you liked the curtains. We did that on purpose to kind of move everybody in. And amen. I think it helped the singing a little bit. Singers, thank you so much for all your energy you're putting out. And I know we're going to do another song at the end. I really want us to participate. Singing can really move our souls. We're going to talk a bit about that later. Well, welcome all of you. I know I've seen a lot of faces. People flew in. People are visiting. There's people in town. I know Chuck and Robin's showers later today, and there's some people in town for that. I saw Zach Casper back in town, flew in for the week. So good to see you, Zach. And a special welcome. I do want to welcome my daughter-in-law, Jasmine Lounsbury. She's still on maternity leave. She has come with my two grandsons, Luca and Levi Lounsbury. So welcome, Jasmine. I know they have a retreat she's heading off to, so I get to be grandpa for the weekend. She's leaving the kid, well, the older kid here. I'm sure in time, little Levi will be with me as well. So it's great to have all of you here. If you're visiting for the first time, welcome. I hope you really feel loved, feel pulled in, feel connected. We are building a church one by one, soul by soul. So welcome. We've been going through a teaching series called A Love That, and then we're picking a different topic from the book of Acts, and today's title is A Love That Perseveres from Acts chapter 16. A Love That Perseveres, and I want to begin with a little story. Over 8 years ago, Carrie and I were out in the Inland Empire in a town called Rancho Cucamonga. We'd been living there for 15 years. And we'd been a part of the church out there, and we'd been part of Riverside, and we'd helped a lot with the desert, we'd helped a lot with Rancho Cucamonga Church, and we were overseeing the Rancho Cucamonga ministry at the time. And there was a request from a lot of the ministry staff that we take the overseeing role of the whole Inland Empire area. And we prayed about it. We thought, okay, we got to have this talk. But the couple mentoring us had been doing it for a long time, and we wanted to help them with their transition, and we weren't sure how to go about it. And they felt like at that time, nah, it's not best to transition. Were you guys oversee it? We're like, okay, we weren't sure. But we felt like God was calling us to that. We had just completed building our own church building out in Rancho Cucamonga, and they still have it. They're still meeting there, which is awesome. But the door was closed really to us taking that role. Right? It was like, no, the timing wasn't right. And you know, when a door closes, it can be painful, right? If you get your hope up for something, plan you have doesn't work out. When someone you're interested in doesn't reciprocate, it can be painful. If a prayer seems unanswered, if someone you thought would step up into a role, they just pull back from that role, right? And there's a proverb, chapter 13, verse 12, that says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. However, God always has something on the other side of those closed doors. And so today, I have two concepts that I put there on the front screen that I want you to hold on to. We want to pray through closed doors and sing, yes, sing, you're going to see that in the sermon here, through locked doors. And that is my hope for us, that we'd be a persevering church. You need to persevere, the scriptures say over and over. Romans 5 says it's what builds character. It leads to hope. We all have to persevere. And a true, deep love for God will call us to have a love that perseveres. Amen. See, God opens doors for his mission. If you go back here a little bit. God opens doors for his mission through people who keep praying and keep singing. And doors that are closed do not necessarily mean that God is absent. In fact, he purposely allows some to be closed for good reason. It's normally there's something else happening. So we're gonna go through today's lesson, and what you're gonna see is that closed doors lead to open hearts, and locked doors can even open up heaven for many people. God keeps moving his mission forward. Even when we think things aren't going the way we want them to go, He is working. So we're going to study Acts chapter 16. This is an incredible passage today. And our first point is this: pray through closed doors. And the sort of the practical there is stay available to what God intends to do in your life. For Carrie and I, that door of us overseeing that ministry out in the Inland Empire, it shut. And it was a little challenging time. We were still leading the local ministry that we were in. But then right at that exact time, we went on this conference. And at that conference, we were invited to consider moving to the West Side and helping shepherd and oversee the West Side ministry. And we didn't know that was what was going to happen, but all of a sudden, God started opening all kinds of doors. I even got a phone call from one sister who I hadn't talked to in many years, who was on the West Side. I didn't know it at the time. And she said she had a dream. And she said, in my dream, you just showed up on the West Side. And I hadn't told anyone that we'd been approached about the idea of coming to the West Side at that time. So God confirmed that a door was opening. And of course, Carrie and I came here to the West Side in 2019. Amen. And we've been here serving the Lord since then. And it's been awesome. God does things that you never thought could happen. Let's dig in and read what happens in Acts chapter 16. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So let's stop right there and give you a little picture. Last week, CJ preached on, you know, being having a love that listens and how they worked through the Jew-Gentile conflict in Acts chapter 15. And then we even saw at the end of chapter 15, they had some guidance for all the churches on how they're going to manage some complex things between Jew and Gentiles, that Gentiles, non-Jews, don't have to become Jews. They don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to follow all the Old Testament laws of Moses. They will live by faith. But we then find that Barnabas and the Apostle Paul have a little disagreement. And they part ways at the end of that chapter, which I find, you know, fascinating. There was a sharp disagreement there. However, what you find is neither Paul nor Barnabas are dissuaded from serving the mission by any kind of disagreement, right? Their faith remains strong, and they both go off on the mission on their own. And so here we read about how Paul had headed off to strengthen the churches that he had originally helped get started. And he brought along Silas with him, and then he arrives in a town and he finds Timothy, and they all speak well of Timothy. But then Paul's like, I want you to come along with me, but you need to be circumcised. Now, that wasn't because it had anything to do with salvation. It had everything to do with Timothy being willing to endure a personal sacrifice so that an unnecessary barrier doesn't get in the way of reaching the Jewish people. He gave up his freedom that he didn't have to do that, but whatever was necessary to reach the communities and the people they would be evangelizing and teaching the gospel to, Timothy was willing to do. They would start most of their ministries and engage in the work of teaching about Jesus in the synagogues. And of course, a Gentile couldn't go into the synagogue. So he's like, hey, let's remove that as a barrier. And Timothy's heart was willing to do it, right? He's like, if this helps the mission, I am willing. See, persevering love is not convenience first. It's not preference first. It's mission first. Amen. Let's keep reading. We read in verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. So they have this plan. He has a goal, but there are closed doors. There's obstacles. Then in verse 9, we read, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So a closed door is not always a failure, all right? It's not always a failure. Sometimes it's guidance from the Holy Spirit. They had a plan, of where they wanted to go. A lot of times we have a plan of how we want to live our life, or the mission we want to accomplish, or the church we want to go serve in. But God has different plans, and we need to be open to his plan. They went, but it wasn't what they thought. And then we find one of the most, I think, fascinating verses. And that is in verse 10 that we just read, where if you notice the text, you probably didn't notice it as we read it, but if you notice the narrative, Luke the doctor, all Bible historians know that he wrote the book of Acts. But right here in verse 10, the narrative changes from they are doing this, they are going on a mission, to we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. And many Bible scholars believe that this is the time that Luke, the doctor who wrote the book of Acts, became a travel companion of the Apostle Paul and Silas and now Timothy as well. So they had a whole mission team going. So here's the we. So here's the challenge for all of us. They go from they to we. And Westside, this is an invitation, I believe, to all of us, right? It's an invitation because every church can have a they problem. Hey, they don't do things right, right? Hey, those people over there, they should serve. They should lead. They should reach out. Hey, somebody ought to fix that situation going on. Who's gonna put up the curtains and take down those curtains? Somebody ought to do it. Who's gonna hand out all the communion stuff? Hey, we gotta fix the front of the stage. Things are not looking the way they ought to look. Do you ever sit there? I hope you think that way because it means you care. But I wanna challenge you to go from a they mindset to a we mindset. See, a persevering church becomes a we church. We will fix this. This is what we do. I love when I'm studying the Bible with somebody who came on out to church for the first time, and we meet for coffee and connect, and I know a lot of you guys do that with one another as we go through our foundations of faith studies with people. And I love, as we begin to engage in the studies with people, I love when they transition from, hey, you guys, to, hey, what are we doing next? Hey, why don't we try this in our worship services? It'll be really cool. Hey, why don't we, you guys see the transition there? Ownership brings inspiration. This is your church. Ultimately, this is Jesus's church, and we get to serve and partner with the Holy Spirit doing the work that he has in store. Amen. Let's be a we church, not a they church. In verse 12, it says, from there we, right? Luke has now changed the narrative, traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate. Normally, they would go into the synagogue, but here in Philippi, there likely wasn't a very large synagogue, or it might not even had one. So they're looking for a place of worship and prayer, and they go by the river. It says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. One of those listening at this place of prayer was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. Expensive meant she was a good businesswoman. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. I love this story, right? We get to meet Lydia, a successful businesswoman, a worshiper of God. And I love how the passage says, the Lord opened her heart. They weren't in the normal place. They went to a different kind of environment, down by the river, hoping to find a place of prayer, and they found some people. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Sometimes God closes doors to open up hearts, right? He'll close a door to something you thought you needed to happen because he's interested in you meeting a certain person. God is arranging times and places for you to meet people to impact your life. Amen? You are here, and that's why, you know, even when we gather for church, you are here not just to receive, you are here to give. You are here to play a role in what happens. A lot of times God is arranging times and places, not so that you might hear the message that day, but so that you would meet a particular person and maybe you have something to give them, or maybe they have something to give you. That is a faithful way to look at your life. We are a persevering church, amen? And so they arrive, and of course, Lydia is a hero in the Bible. She her whole household gets baptized, which is inspiring, right? She responds, then she influences her family, and then she persuades the whole mission team, hey, come to my house. She's very hospitable, right? She's bringing people into her home, and we know the power of hospitality. An open heart and an open home can change many people's lives. One of the things that we as a congregation believe in is we want you to see how we live. We don't just want to look good on a Sunday morning, although you guys do look good on Sunday morning. We want to be faithful all throughout the week. We want to live a discipleship. Our lives need to be open to one another. That's what disciples do. And you don't need a big gargantuan house to invite somebody over. A small one bedroom will do. Be hospitable. Lydia invites them over. She persuades them. God closes some doors to open people, and then those people will open their doors to even more people. That's God's plan, right? He wants us to have open hospitality. And as a church, we've been incredibly hospitable, okay? I'm gonna hold up Hanley with the singles ministry. We had a vision night on Friday. Thank you, Hanley. He has been opening his house for the past 6 months so many times for small groups. Thank you, Hanley, for doing that. I know you love to give, but we don't only want him to do it. I think about the Yangs opening up their awesome house that they bought long, long, long ago in Culver City, where actually you could afford to buy one in Culver City back then. And they bought one, and they opened it up for the campus, having these awesome meals, having them for dinners, hosting. Thank you. I know our small group leaders in here, so many of you open up your houses all the time, week after week after week. It makes a difference. Thank you so much for doing it. Nobody should be expected to do it all the time, every time. And I understand when you are hospitable, it's enormous selflessness. I know, okay, let's just confess, a lot of the men, we were like, yeah, we'll host at our house. But we haven't thought through all the implications of what that means. Okay, the floor has not been mopped. Nobody's vacuumed. You know, there's a million things that haven't been done. And a lot of times, you know, in my zeal, I'm like, yeah, let's host another thing, honey. And she's like, okay, who's cleaning up afterwards and mopping afterwards? And there's a lot to be done just to keep things in order. And we can't forget that, neglect that. Or when we're being hosted, I want to urge you, give away some hospitality. Amen. Let's be the kind of people, we leave things better than we found it, right? We're the ones doing the dishes. I know the brothers aren't typically the ones in there doing the dishes during the small group. But I want to urge you, brothers, get a few dishes going while you're there visiting. Amen. The other thing I want to bring up with us is that God is really working in our ministry to open up many different types of doors. And we are going through a lot of different things as a church that God wants to work on. And one of the things we're going to do is transition into a training during the summer on the spiritual practices, right? And one of the practices we're going to focus on is the practice of solitude, basically having a quiet time with God, being alone, just you and God, taking time to listen to him. Because you can't impact community if you're not impacted by God in solitude. Amen? So we're going to be talking more about this throughout the summer, but I just want to urge each of you, all right, I want to urge each of you to be ready for this. Solitude is not an escape from the mission. It's an empowering of God in our life as we listen to him for the next stage of our life, all right? Quiet with God, available for mission, and you move in between solitude and community well. You'll do well in community when you do well in your walk and solitude and connection and emotionally listening to God, amen? So to end this point, I want you to ask this question. Where is God asking me to stay available? Where is God asking you to stay available in the church? Is he opening a door for you to serve? Is he asking you maybe to be available to mentor one of the younger college or YoPros or somebody older? Is God opening a door for you to strengthen a particular ministry? I know we're going to have another rotation of our children's ministry, and I'm a grandpa now, so I'm willing to volunteer, except I'm up here preaching a lot of the time. And with CJ leaving, I might have to preach a little more in the coming months. Be praying. You're needed, all right? I don't know. Maybe God's calling you to serve in a way you haven't served before. God is going to open the right door if you listen and pay attention. Amen? Do not try to walk through every door, by the way. Each of us, God has a door for you, all right? He has something for you to do. You can't walk through every one. Pick one and walk through that opening and make yourself available so that God can then use your heart to change other hearts. Amen, church? Now, one last thing I want to say before we move on from this idea of our prayer, meditating, and having a heart to pray through locked doors. We are going through interviews with new couples and with new people for campus. We're losing Ryan. We love you, Ryan. I know today's her last day with Westside. The Wakefields are moving on. We've said goodbye. But God is going to send new people. And we are in the process of interviewing. The hiring team has an interview at 4 o'clock today on Zoom. So be praying about that. There's things happening. So your role is to pray and fast and ask God to show us the way. Amen. Pray and fast. I want to put out there, I'm going to fast from Tuesday night through Wednesday night. And then after midweek, I'll break my fast with maybe a handful of the singles that want to go out. If you would like to pick a day to fast, that would be very helpful, church. We should be praying and fasting for God's guidance as we go through this season. Amen? All right, let's keep going in the text. The second point I want to make is sing through locked doors. So not only do you need to remain available, but I want you to stay faithful because times will get tough, all right? And this is an incredible passage. Let's read it together, all right? It says in verse 16, once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. So real quick, let me just say, you know, you had this young slave girl who had the spirit of divination. And she was saying, hey, these guys are teaching you how to be saved from the Most High God. And it sounds like she was telling the truth. But doing a little research, the truth is a Gentile ear would have heard, well, the Most High God might be Zeus. And since there's many gods, and what is really salvation? It actually became an obstacle for Paul's mission work. He'd have to correct all the things she was saying. It put them at a disadvantage in the mission work. And so in reality, he's like, this is not working out. And he just rebukes the demon. And of course, that affects the people who are making money off that gift she had in that culture. It was a corrupt culture that was using spiritual things to make money off people. And sometimes we can relate to that even in our own culture. Or false thinking about what God is or what God is not, or who God is and who God is not, corrupts our understanding of how to live our life faithfully. So Paul rebukes that, and they get taken in, right? They get put in jail. They get brought before the magistrates, and an uproar starts because their messaging was foreign to that culture. Sometimes our messaging will be foreign even to American culture, and we cannot shrink back. Look at this verse. It says, after they had been severely flogged, Luke the doctor says, severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What time was that? Midnight. They had been severely beaten, and they were in the inner cell in stocks. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourselves. We're all here." See, in Roman law, if you were the jailer and a prisoner escaped, it was your life for their life. That was the Roman law. So what happens though, is that the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. And I want to narrow in. This is an incredible story, right? Talk about persevering through hard times. Preaching the gospel got them thrown in jail and severely beaten. But I love this verse. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening. God wants to do incredible things in all of our lives, but we are going to have to persevere. You see, Paul and Silas didn't know an earthquake was coming when they were singing those hymns, right? They didn't know that the jailer and his whole household's gonna get baptized. They did not know an incredible church would flourish, that Paul would then eventually feel so close to. They'd be one of the main supporting churches of his future missionary journeys. They just knew that Jesus is worth being faithful through hard times, even at midnight. And they were singing hymns and praying, and the locks just came off. And they could have escaped. But maybe the greater miracle is not that they didn't, you know, run away, or that they had broken locks that was a complete miracle. Maybe the greater miracle is they had the heart to understand the implications if they ran away, right? So the reality is, it wasn't that the doors opened. It was that Paul and Silas stayed and a whole family was converted because they realized God was doing something and people mattered. People mattered. And so, of course, this church in Philippi, you can read the book of Philippians. It's one of Paul's greatest writings. And Paul understood in there, we read that he says, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, right? I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know Jesus, what Paul wrote. And he inspired that church. And that church became a hallmark of many churches in the first century. So the question is, will we be singing when the doors feel locked in our own lives? When things aren't working out, the job is tough, finances can be tough, circumstances don't work. I know we oftentimes come up with ministry plans and they don't work out the way we want, but will we have the faith to sing? Now, I want to say that both metaphorically, but also literally. We need to sing, church. Singing can change, I believe this, hit me this week. Singing can change this church, all right? So we're gonna work on this over the next year. I want us to be a singing church. I want our worship to be off the charts. And I'm so grateful for all those participating. But it's not just people up here, all of us. There's something happens inside of us. And all of us like a good concert, right? We all like a little music that vibes with how God made us. That vibration inside our soul, right? We need that. Worship can lift our souls, and it's a testimony. When people walk through and they're just like, wow, everyone is singing, it makes a difference. And guys, let's be real. We are a church of Christ. Churches of Christ, traditionally, it was just all a cappella singing, and you had to sing, or man, that was going to be that service was not going to have much energy. But I'll never forget when I went to my first services as a young Christian, and everybody stood in a big circle, and they just started singing. No instruments, just singing. And I was like, and they started clapping, and I was like, oh, clapping on beat. That's a skill I need to learn, right? So I was like, you know, I eventually learned how to clap on beat. I'm not a good singer, but you know what? If somebody could sing, was a little louder right now, next to me, I could kind of blend in and add a little volume to the energy. Some of you know how to sing. Please sing on key, and I'll just blend in and add a little volume to the energy right there. But it's not only the idea of singing literally, I mean singing metaphorically at midnight, having faith through tough times, believing God is going to do something awesome. We need faithfulness. For Lydia, it was her household and these missionaries that she opened her doors to and became just a pillar of that church. For Timothy, it was him being, I'll do whatever is needed, Paul. Whatever you need, I'll do to advance the mission. For Luke, he was like, all right. He changed it from they to we. He's a part of it. He joined them. Now, Luke's a great story. And he wrote this very book through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're reading right now. Paul and Silas, They were in the stocks, in the inner cell, and they stayed faithful. They knew God could do something. They had no idea how he would orchestrate things, and he did an incredible miracle. Amen, church. In closing today, let's be the kind of church that when doors close, we keep praying. When doors close, we keep praying. When doors are locked, we sing. We come up with an idea. We don't give up. We say, okay, God, what is your plan for me right now? It doesn't seem like it's going to work out, but you are faithful. I will remain faithful through these tough times. When God opens a heart, will you make space in your life to be available to them? When God opens a home, will we enter? Will we give hospitality to those who are offering hospitality to us? And when God opens a need, will we serve? Church, I want to call every one of us to say, this is a season, God, you are calling me to persevere no matter how I'm feeling. Yes, there's been some loss, there's some challenges, there's difficulties we go through. New ones will be coming, but I will pray through these locked doors, these closed doors, and I will sing when I feel like I am locked up and things aren't what I wanted them to be, because you can do miracles. Your challenge is to ask this question, Lord, what door are you opening through my perseverance? I want us to be a church of faith, a church of surrender, a church of faithfulness, a church that remains, even though many are going to go, God's presence is here. Let's have a love that perseveres. Love you guys.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.